fact, we lecture our kids about that sometimes, especially when they're little. Now, make good choices. Well, we have to tell grown-ups that. Be sure to make good choices. If you want good fruit, you got to have a good root. If you don't have a good root, it's not going to produce good fruit. And that's the premise of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to introduce it today. We're going to talk about bitter fruit. We're going to talk about better fruit. We're going to talk about religious fruit. How many of you know there's a difference in having a relationship with God and just being religious? I'm afraid that in a lot of our churches, probably ours included, that there are people who are religious, but they really don't have a relationship with God. And everything that that produces anything of eternal value comes out of a good, solid relationship with the Lord. Now, it's not my job to stand up here and judge you. It's not my job, you know, to look at you and say, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, you got bad fruit. And I mean, honestly, I can see good fruit. I can see bad fruit. But it's not my job to just beat you up. It's my job to get you to judge you. I say that all the time. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we will learn to judge ourselves, not condemn ourselves, but to judge ourselves, if we'll judge ourselves, then we won't be judged. And we are going to all be judged, but we're not going to be condemned. So having good fruit is important, and we need to know what makes up good fruit. And we're going to look in a passage that Jesus, he used a picture of a vine. We could use a tree. Psalms 1 talks about a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. And it talks about the man who does not listen to certain things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night, and said, he shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in season. And whatever he does shall prosper. Now, that's what we want to be. We want to be solid trees. We want to be planted in the right place. We want to have the right kind of fruit growing in our lives because we have been given a mandate to glorify God. That's why you're here. That's why God raised up the church, not only to preach the gospel, but to glorify God. And honestly, when we see, you know, churches that are fussing and fighting and divided and hating and full of those kind of things, that's not glorifying God. That's not good fruit. And you can preach all of the gospel that you want to preach, but if you don't have good fruit, you're not going to have good fruit. And we could call this worldview, and it's kind of important that we see that we have the right view of the world that we live in. We call it worldview. How you see the world that you live in. How you judge, make choices in the world that you live in. So it's very important for us as Christians to have a solid root system. A solid root system. So I want to read in John chapter 15. We're going to begin with verse 5. Jesus talking, I am the vine. And we could say root, and I'll prove that in a minute. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, say that with me, abides in me. And I in him bears much fruit. Bears how much fruit? Much. Much. Not spotty fruit, much fruit. Not sparse fruit, much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, you can be good, but I'm not talking about producing fruit that withers. We're talking about producing fruit that remains, that has eternal value in it. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. I love verse 7. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, there's a difference in being a believer and a disciple. See, one of the aspects of the Great Commission was go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, not just make believers. Now, you have to be a believer before you're a disciple. But most Christians, a great percent of Christians quit at the believer part. They don't go on and become disciples. And we become disciples by abiding in Him and He in us and bringing forth fruit that people can look at. See, I love the scripture. It says, let your light shine before men that men may see your good works. We could use the word fruit there. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, that's when God is pleased, that when people look at us and they glorify God because they see the consistent lifestyle, the consistency of our Christian fruit. And we need to be fruit bearers. We don't need to look like the world. We don't need to have the same opinions that the world has. We are called to a higher calling. We are called to see with different set of glasses than the world sees with. Our worldview is to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It needs to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That's one thing that we seem to struggle with a lot. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with staying in my Bible. Does anybody else have that problem? You said, preacher, you're not supposed to struggle. Well, duh, I do. I struggle just like you do. I have the same temptations that you have. I get dry. In fact, I've been going through a dry spell for some time. Sometimes I feel like God is so far away. But you know what? I know He's not. Because you know what He said? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And even though it doesn't feel like God's close, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So anyway, we just persevere on. We go on. Now, I wanted to make a connection with the vine and the root. Revelation 5:5. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. See, this calls Jesus the Root of David. Isaiah calls Him a root out of dry ground. So He's referred to as the Root. Then Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring. I am the root and the vine of David. I am the mechanism. I am the foundation for which you can have a fruitful life. See, our fruitfulness is in knowing Jesus Christ. Our fruitfulness is in having a living daily relationship with Him. Not a religious relationship. Not a religious relationship where we just go through the motions and there's no life in us. Listen, we need to be growing in Christ. We need to be producing fruit. So the first thing that we see today, that Jesus is the vine and the root. He is the foundation for all our growth. You know, it's not really how much Bible knowledge you have. I know people who can quote verses of Scripture and outquote most Christians, and they're really, I'm not supposed to use this word, they're stupid. They have no insight. It's just a head full of stuff, and they're always trying to debate and confuse people. And you know, we see way too much of that in the body of Christ. We do. We see way too much of that. There's bigger things for us to do than be fighting with each other over the dotting of I's and the crossing of T's. We need to be busy reaching people who don't know Christ. We need to be busy ourselves in growing fruit that brings glory to God. Okay. So Jesus is the vine and the root. Now here's the second thing, and that is this, John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So guess what? Jesus is the vine and the root. Guess what we are? We're the branches. And it gives this picture is that as long as we abide, not frequent, abide. That abide word is a strong word. In fact, it's an eternal word. It's a permanent word. It's a word that could mean stick like glue. Not up and down and in and out. It's a picture of a daily, ongoing giving and receiving from the vine and the root, between the branch. It describes something that's eternal in nature, not up and down and in and out. And, you know, we see a lot of people that are up and down and in and out. When they're up, they're up, and when they're down, and when they're only halfway up, they're neither up or down. You know, we see lots of Christians like that. You know, they're on fire, then they're cold. They're on fire, then they're cold. Then they're lukewarm. See, that is not what this is talking about. That's not what it's talking about. See, things are not always going to go good for you. Have you noticed that? I thought when I came to Jesus, everything would be lovely. I would just float through life on flowery beds of ease. No, listen. There's a world out there that is, have you noticed that the world is not Christian? Oh yeah, we live in America, the greatest Christian nation in the world. Phooey, who told you that? There's not a lot Christian about America. It was founded on the principles of the Christian faith. But listen, we are fast departing from that. It is not a world friendly towards Christianity. It is not a world friendly towards morality. There's a devil out there that hates you, that hates God, that hates the Word of God, that hates everything about God. And he'll do everything he can to throw a monkey wrench in your life. So your life is not always just going to flow just like no trouble. You're going to, see, they said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. Thank you. I have overcome the world. And then you have your own stinking flesh to deal with. That's probably the hardest one. Did you know it? That's probably the hardest one to deal with. Your own selfish flesh. But you know what it tells us to do? It tells us to abide. I see people sometimes and, you know, they're absent. And let me say, I mean, you can be gone from here for a while before we realize you're gone. Honestly, I mean, when you're dealing, I mean, I'm one and you're 500 or 600. Okay, and sometimes I'll go home after service and say, now, who wasn't there? Somebody wasn't there. You know, and it just, and then it'll dawn on me. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the road, you know what? I hadn't seen so-and-so in a while. So I'll call or send a note or something and say something to them. Oh, I've been going through some stuff. I've been dealing with some stuff. You know what I want to say? Duh. Duh. What are you supposed to do when you're going through stuff? What is it that you need when you're going through stuff? We don't just need him when things are good. Now, if I stepped on your toes, I don't apologize. Okay. We need Jesus all the time. We need our relationship with God all the time. Not when things are going good, because they're not always going to go good. It's just not going to happen that way. But let me tell you this. The more you stay hooked up, the more you stay in the Word, the more you stay meditating the Word in prayer and in the things of God and you know, being faithful to the house of God, the more that you are, you're going to find out as your root system begins to grow that there's going to be some things that just fall away from your life that are no longer a challenge. They're just no longer a challenge to your life. You know why? Because your root system is your support. Your root system is there to sustain you. See, here's the thing about, you know, the bigger your root system gets, and I'm talking about the good root system, it will answer a lot of questions in your life. There are things that you won't even have to think about because your root system is solid, and you'll just make decisions based on that, and you will avoid so many different things. Have you ever wondered why the same dumb stuff keeps happening in your life? That the same pattern is there, you know, year after year after year, and you keep stumbling over the same thing all the time? I mean, maybe you have trouble forgiving. Maybe you have a root of bitterness in you. You know what a root of bitterness is going to produce in you? Until it's taken out of you, it's going to produce unforgiveness, resentment, all of those kind of things in your life. And you think, well, why am I struggling with this? Because you have a root of bitterness in you. You've got to get rid of that. And there's only one way to get rid of that. You got to pull it out and you got to plant new roots in your life. And they're in Jesus. They're in His Word. See, He said, if you abide in me and my Word abides in you. Yeah, but I can't read my Bible. Oh, you can't? Can you watch TV? Can you listen to music? You can read your Bible. Yeah, but I don't get much out of it. Well, I don't either all the time. But what has that got to do with anything? I'm going to put it in there like seed. See, if you don't ever put anything in there, the Holy Spirit will never have anything to draw on in your life. Here, listen to this. You don't have to understand everything in the Bible right now. But if you'll take the time to put it in there, as you abide in Him and your fellowship with Him and you're growing in Him, the Holy Spirit is going to bring some of those things back to you and begin to show you things that you didn't know. But listen, if you hadn't put that in there, there would have been nothing for Him to work with. See, your root system comes through your relationship with Christ and your relationship with Him through the Word of God. That's how you build your Christian worldview. That's how you start your root system. That's how you root out some of those old things in your life. And I could name a bunch of stuff because I deal with stuff in people's lives all the time. And what you see is reoccurring things that just keep happening. And then people say, well, you know, I'm just not lucky. It has nothing to do with luck. It's your root system. If you don't like your fruit, pluck the root. Okay. So He's the vine. Guess what? We're the branch. Now here's the third thing. Well, let me read it one more before I get to that. Don't want to leave this out. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See, if that fruit gets in your life because the root's in there, Christ is in there, and He begins to produce that fruit in there that you let Him produce, you're not going to have governing laws to tell you what to do and what not to do. It's just going to become natural to you. You know what? I never pray about paying tithe. You know why? I got deep roots where that's concerned. I don't ever have to pray about whether to be faithful to my wife or not. You know why? Now, I might be tempted not to be faithful to my wife, but I never have to wonder in my mind whether that's the thing to do or not. That becomes the overriding thing above the temptation of the flesh. Why? Because I've got a strong root system there. We got to have strong root systems if we're going to have good fruit. Okay, so he's the vine, we're the branch. He produces love, joy, peace, and all of those in us through our relationship with him. But listen, the Father is the vine dresser. Now, I don't have time to read this verse, but and I'll tell you where it is if you want to study it later. It's in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and it talks about God planting a vineyard, and that vineyard is Israel. And Israel strays from God, and he talks about removing the hedge and dealing with Israel. What he's doing, he's taking it through a pruning process, and that pruning process is not making you sick. That pruning process is not crippling you. That pruning process that he rebukes us a lot of time is through that Bible that you read. Sometimes when you come to church and it gets on your toes, don't get mad at me. It's not my word, it's his word. Now, if I'm preaching my opinions, that's a different thing. But if it's his word and it gets on your toes, that ain't me judging you, Jack. That's the Holy Spirit trying to lop off something that needs to be lopped off in your life. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you think. I don't know what your secrets are. I don't have to. I preach a word that'll lay it bare, and I don't even have to know what it is. I preach a word that's alive and powerful, that is sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible says that we're naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's his word that lays that bare. It's not me. I don't know your secrets. I don't want to know your secrets. I got enough to deal with my secrets. It's my job to put the word out there. The Father wants to do a pruning in your life. You know why? You know why you prune a tree? Not to kill it. You know, they cut off branches that don't produce fruit and burn them and get them out of the way. You know why? Because it's trying to draw the life that the fruit-producing part of the tree needs to grow the good fruit. So there are things in your life that tries to draw the sap, to draw the life out of you that produces nothing. That needs to be lopped off. Why? So the good fruit can come through your life. Hey, God's not mad at you. God's not out to get you. He is out to change you. God loves you just like you are. I say this all the time. God loves you exactly like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. What does he want to do? He wants a relationship with you through Christ. He wants to be the root and the vine that supplies the nutrients and the life that you need as the branch to bring forth fruit. But part of that process has to do is that there's a word that begins to lop off the unproductive things in our lives so that we can bring forth the better fruit. So I encourage you, Isaiah 5, 1 through 7, it tells the story how that God deals with Israel, and he deals with them pretty harshly. Then there is a parable that is basically the same thing in the New Testament, Matthew 21, 33 through 40. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, dug a wine press and built a tower. And he leased it to his vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these vine dressers? So this, and if you tie this back into the Isaiah scripture, it shows that God was the vine dresser. Here we see how God will, and it was a picture of Israel. And I don't know, but what this is probably not a picture of Israel also. But it shows us a picture of God as the vine dresser, the one who cleans it up, the one who brings it to the place that it can be fruit bearing. So you've got a Savior that loves you, wants to have a relationship with you, and you also have a Father that loves you, that wants to work in your life to get rid of the unnecessary things in your life that keep you from being all that He designs you to be. Okay, let's talk about our takeaways for today. Then the worship team is going to come back and we're going to worship and do some other things. Number one, the fruit in our lives comes from the root. You don't produce eternal fruit by yourself. It comes through the root. Number two, Jesus is our vine and root who produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. It's our interaction with Him, staying, abiding. Three, abide and stay connected to Jesus during the difficult times in life. Don't run away. Don't go away to deal with stuff. Stay hooked in. You'll deal with it better and faster. Number four, display the fruit Jesus produces in you by abiding Him on a continual basis. See, this is not a hit and miss deal. This is eternal. Jesus is in this with you for the long haul. I mean, for eternity, not the long haul. It's more than a long haul. It's eternity. You need to be in it with Him for eternity also. Amen. Let's stand. I want to pray, and the worship team is coming back. Lord God, thank You today. Lord, You see our hearts. Holy Spirit, I know that You have spoken to people here today.